At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The Chicago Bulls have finally started showing some signs of learning from their past mistakes, which has included not negotiating with free agents. And while it's coming at a not ideal time, I want to talk about how the Bulls continue this. It could be help them avoid what put them in the place of being in the middle for so long. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, the questions around, does what Josh Giddey bring on the court mean enough for what contract that he's seeking? We'll talk a little bit about that as well. And Isaac Okoro's call the Bulls' most underrated pickup. We're going to talk about why. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And I have been thinking about, you know, and I think I've mentioned on the last couple of episodes how Bulls fans, rightfully so, have questions about the fact that the Bulls have taken such a hardline stance in these Josh Giddey negotiations, whereas in the past with like Patrick Williams, they have not taken that. Even with Nikola Vucevic, when he became a free agent, they announced a deal with him before he even hit the open market. It was actually the same deal that was rumored around the start of that season prior when they said they wanted to extend, when it came out that they wanted to extend Nikola Vucevic and were willing to do so in the middle of the season. And so over the years, the Bulls have not necessarily negotiated the best. And I would say not only just in their free agent deals, but also in their trade deals. And you know, most Bulls fans would agree with that. Now, I know that this offseason, there's a difference of opinion. And I want to be clear here. This is in no way talking about Josh Giddey as a player. I want to be clear for my Josh Giddey fans, all that type of thing. I'm more so talking about the Bulls' more now openness to take hardline stances. Now, we can talk about if it is this the wrong time to do that. Have they done that with the wrong player where it could cause him to be alienated from the franchise? We could talk about that conversation, and maybe after seeing your guys' comments to that, we'll pick up on the conversation tomorrow, right? But I want to more so talk about the fact that, you know, the Bulls for so long have done that and it's been problematic. And I try to remove how I feel about a player and talk about the fact that, you know, the Bulls may be learning from their past mistakes, because I do think those can be two separate things, right? Two things can be true at the same time. The Bulls can be learning from their mistakes and finally starting to negotiate deals where they should have been doing it before. And it could be another thing said, you may still be doing that with the wrong player this time. So I want to be clear, this is not a mutually exclusive thing. Two things can be true at the same time. So I want to more so focus on the Bulls now taking that stance and looking at value. We've talked about a lot. Me and Pat have talked about it over on Locked On Bulls. You guys have called about it. The Bulls have very much so overvalued their own players for years, right? Or in their desire to keep things together, they've been willing to just pay what they probably wasn't market value. We talked about Nikola Vucevic contract extension. Was that the market value for Vuce at that time? They didn't really even give it a chance to see. Now, I do think the Bulls, more than people have given them credit for, have signed players to fair deals. Kobe and Io are on extremely reasonable contracts, right? Now, that's coming to end the season, but they did take advantage then at both of those guys coming off down seasons, and they were able to get them for much less than they would have been had they were coming off more solid seasons. But one could say, all right, but Hayes, that was based off the player's performance, and that gave them a leg up. Okay, fair, right? I think when you look at also Alex Caruso's contract at the time was looked at to be very reasonable. Andre Drummond, we got for a very reasonable contract, right? So those things. But the Bulls have overpaid at times as well. No doubt about that. And so now with the place that this team is at, and I've said this before, when you are a winning team, you overpay to keep your own guys because you want to keep winning. And the Bulls for a long time have operated as if they were a winning team when we all know they have not been. And that's been one of the problems of this franchise. Again, you can have a different conversation about, is this the right player to do it on with Josh Giddey? Could they be shooting themselves in the foot? Story for another day. But when you talk about a franchise that I look at, and I've judged it enough, And people, it's funny how people, when you talk about things that realistically happen, the people that don't want to hear talk about it as if it's a negative, right? I don't see it a negative. We talk about things that are legitimate. The Bulls have overpaid for people. That's not a negative. It's just real. If it's a negative, it's because it was a negative action, not because the conversation around it is negative, right? But in this time, let's just look at it. The Bulls have much over the years since AK has taken over this team, they've traded first round picks for marginal success. Now what we've heard is that even at times where the Bulls did not want to move off of Zach LaVine or didn't take deals over the last like year, 18 months before they ended up moving him further out, they were actually getting more moves and they overvalued him as a talent, but that's a different story, right? But you know, because they would have had to include a first round pick. And even in like things that we've heard this offseason, like, yeah, they could move off P. Will. They would have to include an asset. It seems like the Bulls have now understand, hey, where we are, we have to value our assets more. Getting your own first-round pick back, especially for a team that is not going to tank, which we've already known, they are shown now, okay, we understand how serious we have to take these first-round picks. We are not going to move our first-round picks to just get out of the plan. We have to go through a period of growth internally first before we're willing to do that. Again, this is me. The Bulls can make a trade tomorrow where I'm looking at it and saying, oh, you stupid, stupid people, right? But as it stands right now, it does seem like they are valuing their first-round picks more. Now, we can talk about the valuation of second-round picks, which we got to get that together. But, you know, so that thing. Now, as far as the negotiating with your own players, I don't think that if you have set a value for that player and you hold to that, it's necessarily a bad thing in every case scenario. Now, in some scenarios, it can be because you could end up undercutting a player. And we'll see what that ends up happening with the Josh Giddey thing. And I think a big part of this to show if this is going to be legitimate or not is how they deal with the Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu contracts, the new contracts, because they both have to go to unrestricted free agency. Are they going to have a valuation of that? And I've already talked to people in the comment section where they're like, oh my God, well, are they going to overpay? And I think the thing is that I want everybody to go ahead and get your form of reference together. Next year's market is going to be a lot different than this year's market because more teams have money and Kobe and I are unrestricted and not restricted. Restricted free agency gives you a ability to play a more hardline stance with a player than you can necessarily in unrestricted free agency. But I am excited or interested to see how the Bulls manage the unrestricted free agency of Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White. Are they a little bit more aggressive about getting a deal done before they hit the unrestricted free agent market, or are they, they have that period where you can negotiate with your own free agents before they hit the open market? Do the Bulls take advantage of that, or is it a similar situation where they kind of let the market dictate Kobe and Ayo, and because more teams are there, that market could dictate a lot more money necessarily than the flexibility they have with Josh Giddey? But that's a story for another day. But I'm interested to see how they deal with those free agencies. And while I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Hayes, if they're going to learn from the decisions, they'd move P-Will tomorrow. And again, as I've told you guys before, there's nothing that benefits your team from moving from P-Will. Well, let me not say that. Benefiting as far as opening up minutes potentially, but you can get that same thing out of just benching him. I just don't think that there's going to be a move out there that includes P-Will that does not include the Bulls having to give up assets as it stands right now for Patrick Williams. That's just my personal opinion, right? So I get where people say, well, if we're going to move anybody, let's move P. Will because he's bad, bad, bad. Yeah, and that's also why it's difficult to move him, and you may have to give up something to move him. And that's where the Bulls have to kind of manage some things at. We'll see how good they do at that. But this is a front office that seems like they are starting to understand the mistake they made when they came in and said they wanted to build organically through the draft, and then 6 months later, you traded for a 30-year-old center, right? So how now are you really learning from that? And that's going to be a test that we have to see over several off seasons. We're not going to know that for sure, or several transaction periods, I should say, before we really can say that. But they seem like they're doing it. Now, the Josh Giddey aspect of it, depending on how you sit on that, you're going to feel a different way about it. There's some people that are applauding the Chicago Bulls for holding a hard line stance on it. And there's some people that understandably so as well are taking a look at that and saying, hey, you could be alienating one of the players that you should be trying to develop here that may offer the chance going forward. And that's what you have to get into. And that's what's going to actually lead us to our next topic. The next topic that I want to talk about, and this is as stemmed from several conversations with Bulls fans, whether it be in the comment section, whether it be on Twitter, or whether it be on Reddit, and that is, or the Discord as well. But whether it be like, does It's Josh Giddey's strengths, right? Because we know the weaknesses of Josh Giddey. He's not the best defender. He's not the best shooter, even though he's gotten better as a shooter every single year. But he's gotten better as a shooter, but he's not the best shooter. Is Josh Giddey's strengths, are they good enough, right? Like, Josh Giddey offers tremendous offensive versatility, but the strengths that he has, is that good enough for the Chicago Bulls? And those are legitimate questions, right? I think that when you look at Josh Giddey's strengths, he's a great facilitator, one of the best players in the NBA as far as creating open shots for his teammates. Now, notice that is different than assists. Assist is when it results in a bucket, the generation of open shots, right? I also think Josh Giddey's rebounding to push the break. I think he fits the Bulls' new style of play that they adapted last season. I'm excited to see the further growth in that, especially with players like Modest and Noah Essengay. And if we ever get that rim running big, I'm excited to see that there. But the way that I see it is this, is that is even if you doubt Josh Giddey's skill set, even if you doubt how good Josh Giddey can be, right now where the Bulls currently are, it's worth the risk. And the reason why I said this stems from another conversation me and Pat had over on Locked On Bulls. One of the questions that I asked there is, how can the Bulls become a free agent destination, whether it's the summer of 2026 or further down the road? And I see it as maybe my view is too limited. I see it as one of only a couple of ways that you can become a free agent destination. I'm not saying that's the only way to become a good team. I'm saying a free agent destination. One, you have to have either a core or you have to have a certain level of success as a team that a player can look at that and say, that team offers me the best situation to go further and to take my game further. And I would say to do that, you have to be a team that at least has won a first round playoff series. The Bulls aren't there yet, right? Or you can be a team that is having success. Maybe it's still having its struggles, but you have a young core of players there that then a veteran player or a free agent could look at that and say, I could take that young core over the top. They can also help me in my game as I age. I'm going to go there and play with those young guys because I believe in it. Or you can have a young budding star and people be like, I want to go play with that guy. Fuck the core.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I want to go play with that guy. That could be Modest Muzelis, right? I think when you look at the core aspect of things, Josh Giddey, Modest Muzelis, Noah Essengay, you are hoping that one of these three players ascend to a level, or all three of them, to where you now have a nucleus that somebody wants to come and play with. Again, I've talked about this many times. This is the more long-term route to get there. It's not going to be a quick turnaround, right? And so I think that where the Bulls are right now, a 22-year-old player, I don't care how long he's been in the NBA, let people use that excuse, because again, most of that time he was in the NBA, he was not playing his optimal role. He was not playing point guard because they had an MVP caliber player at point guard. And so I'm now looking at that and saying, all right, you have this now area. How much can Josh Giddey grow now that he is going to clearly be the point guard? He's going to be operating our offense. He's going to be running that. Now, let's invest in that. And to that point, I can see the Bulls' stance on a 3-year deal being, all right, let's get 3 years to see it. If you're him and you're that, we ain't got no problem paying you, but we need to see a bigger sample size. I understand that. And this is the way that I view it, right? This is objectivity. Josh Giddey has some pretty big limitations in this game. And as it stands right now, the question is, how much can you trust that he's going to work on that? And for that, I'm going to just use raw data. Now, I'm not using my opinion on Josh Giddey. I'm using raw data, period, right? When you talk about the fact that Josh Giddey is already in territories where only him, Luka, and LeBron are doing things that Josh Giddey did last year. Now, Josh Giddey, that doesn't mean that Josh Giddey is the caliber of those players. But again, we are talking about this strictly from a point, is it worth the investment to see how much that can develop here on your team? That's something as well that, yeah, Josh Giddey's stats last year, basically 15 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists on 46% shooting from the field and a career-high 37% shooting from three-point range, taking 4 three-pointers per game. And you know what? It's funny enough about that. The same people that talk about Patrick Williams and say, well, Patrick Williams got to play. He's a really good three-point shooter. That's basically the same volume and basically close to the same percentage that Patrick Williams shot at his best. Now, Patrick Williams was a 40% three-point shooter at one time, taking a little bit less threes than Josh Giddey. But that again, he's showing an ability to work on his game. The on-ball defense. Now, I've talked about this again. Pure stats, objective stats. We're just going to look at the analytics of it. Josh Giddey on the perimeter on pick and roll situations has a defensive rating of almost 118. That's not good, right? But when you look at the place where Josh Giddey is growing defensively, in the mid-range, he has gone from at the beginning of his career having a defensive rating on possessions guarded in the mid-range. Keep in mind, these are one-on-one possessions. This is where he's guarding the player that's shooting. That not only have we seen the defensive field goal percentage drop, which you want that to be low, you've also seen the defensive rating go from a 116 in the mid-range down to a 111. 110 is league average. We've talked about the fact that Josh Giddey may never become an above-average defender, but can he become an average defender, especially with what the strengths that he brings offensively? There are some signs there. Even more encouraging is near the paint, where Josh Giddey allows for a shooting percentage in the restricted area of almost 51%. Now, so that may sound high, but league average around the restricted area is around over 60%. Now, that's not just guards, right, which Josh Giddey is guarding, but there's been some signs to say that Josh Giddey being a more engaged defender is having results. Now, you got to ask yourself, how engaged is he going to be consistently? Is he going to put in the work to consistently be engaged in those areas? Again, fair question. Again, raw data objective. This is not to say one way or another. This is to be objective. But the point is, at 22 years old, we'll turn 23 by the start of the season. The fact that the Bulls are in a place where right now we don't have a best player. I'm sorry, we don't. We don't have a player that is clearly separated himself and shown, hey, by playing off me or building around me, I can make you a playoff team. That to me is where you can say you have a best player. Other than that, you have players that are really good that are doing it and have certain strengths, but you have a lot of ways to go before you can say that. That's what this is overall about for me. People have different looks on it. You have the people that view, well, you shouldn't pay anybody if you don't think they're a star. I don't necessarily share that. But that is a view out there. You have people that view this and try to say, oh, well, Josh Giddey can never be XYZ when we really haven't necessarily seen that. There are definitely flaws in Josh Giddey's game. Anybody who tries to act out or talk as if there's not flaws in Josh Giddey's game, to me, it's just not legitimate, right? Like, there are flaws in his game. But at 22 years old, at a team that has, we've talked about, you know, is trying to find its direction, doesn't have the player that is clearly shown you can build around yet. You talk about taking bites at the apple. That's a bite at the apple. Yeah, it's a $20-plus million bite at the apple, but the Bulls have one of the cleanest cap sheets in the NBA. You know what those cap sheets are for? Having a clear financial gives you reason to have flexibility financially. And for people who say, well, if we pay Josh Giddey, how are we going to afford a superstar? Do you think a superstar is coming here? Because if you do think a superstar is coming here, I need to know what brand of cocaine you're smoking. I just need to know what brand is it. Is it a name brand? Is it a designer? Because if you don't have talent, nobody's coming here. And for those that say, well, we shouldn't be signing these guys because we should be trying to bottom out, I don't know what else you need to wake up to the reality of the world that is being a Chicago Bulls fan in this front office. This team is not bottoming out. They have no goals to tank. There's not a covert tank. Everybody who you can have your legitimate reasons why you think tanking makes sense for this Bulls team. I'm not saying you're wrong for that. But I'm saying that if you don't realize that this is not a team that is going to tank, you're smoking something strong. So with all those scenarios there, again, even if you question if Josh Giddey's skill set is strong enough to build around, this is the time period where you have to try to find that out, in my personal opinion. And we'll see what comes of that. Like, again, even if the Bulls do sign, if the rumored three-year deal does end up getting signed, the Bulls' cap sheet is so clear that $20 to $25 million is not going to hurt the Bulls' cap flexibility, not one bit, not over 3 years. That also aligns with Modest Muzelis getting his contract extension. And so, therefore, you have some flexibility there as well. And we'll see what the Bulls end up doing in that case. But it's just a conversation I wanted to have that was something that was on my mind. I'd love to hear from you guys. Again, this is not to say One way is right, one way is wrong. I just feel like it's open for a discussion. I would love to hear how you guys feel about it. You guys can let me know how you feel down below. All right, let's move into the last topic for today. Max Holbrook over on Clutch Points he called in an article Isaac Okoro the most underrated pickup by the Chicago Bulls. I'm going to read a little blurb from here again. Max Holbrook, shout out to him. He said this: although his scoring averages have declined due to a lack of opportunity since his rookie season, his efficiency has taken a significant leap. His three-point shooting jumped up from a shaky 29% as a rookie to 37% in 2024-25. His two-point percentage has climbed from 50% to 58.6%, and his effective field goal percentage is nearly up 10% from 47 to 56.9. What makes this even more impressive is that it's happened despite a significant drop in playing time from 32 minutes per game as a rookie to just 19 per game this past season. These numbers suggest an increased role in Chicago. Okoro could be ready to take a significant jump as a scorer while being able to guard the opponent's best player every night. And that's what the Bulls are hoping for. I'm not at the C Red Fred level yet, where I think that this is one of the best trades that the Bulls have made, but it is a promising one. Much like we talked about Josh Giddey, the Bulls are in a position to where they can take the risk to see if a player can do that. Now, some could say that with more opportunities, the efficiency actually drops. That's why when I've talked about Isaac Okoro, I've said if with slightly more volume, if he can keep near that same efficiency, that's going to be a really good two-way player for the Chicago Bulls, as well as a different play style with playing faster, getting more out in transition, getting him downhill more. We'll see. Now, one of the things in the article that I love that they did, since he was traded for Lonzo Ball, is they compare the two players, saying this: Lonzo Ball has played in just 125 of a possible 400 regular season games, coming out to 31% of possible games played. Okoro, on the other hand, has appeared in 334 of 400 possible games, coming out to an availability rate of 83.5%. Sometimes the best ability is availability, and that is what we're seeing here with the Chicago Bulls, and they are trying to take a risk. Now, I will say this, and in fairness, again, like to have conversations from both sides of things. The Bulls thought that they were playing within the margins in the acquisition of Javon Carter. And we saw how that worked out for the Chicago Bulls. Never really was an impact player for the Bulls. Never even a good rotation player for the Bulls. Never really earned a consistent spot in the rotation, right? And so sometimes playing in the margins and looking at a player and saying, hey, they did this with this smaller sample size. We have this role here, which can give them a larger volume of opportunities. Let's see if they can bring that over here and how that extrapolates out. It doesn't always work out for you. So this is a calculated risk by the Chicago Bulls to say this. But here's what I'll say. The difference with it is that even if you do end up dropping Isaac Okoro to the 19 minutes he was getting in Cleveland because of Julian Phillips or because of Noah Essengay, you're still getting a player that is more proven and still going to be out on the court more than what you had with Lonzo Ball. But it is still a risk in that. And again, the calculated risk that they took in that, because he's making $1 million more than Lonzo Ball, has an additional guaranteed year, whereas Lonzo Ball's second year is a team option. It's a guaranteed year for Isaac Okoro in that second year, but it's still not taking the level of risk to where I think things are in a negative space yet. And you got to see how that's going to work out for the Bulls. I love this article. I love how objective it is. Again, the way that my brain works, I like looking at objective analytics and stats, because not that it paints the full picture. The eye test is also very important. We're talking about a basketball player. But when you talk about how a player could impact a team, those analytics give a insight on how it could happen. Doesn't mean that it will happen, but it does give you insight on how it could happen if things work out. And we got to see if that's going to work out for the Chicago Bulls, which is a big question. And there's a lot of doubt around this front office, understandably so. So we'll see how that shakes out. But you guys can let me know how you feel on all of that down below. That's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Yes. Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.